Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you share this program with your friends and family throughout the country and throughout the world. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and come and join us and be amazed at the information that our guests have gleaned. And today is one of those days where it's really a rare day for me and Ms. Barbara not to have a guest on. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
That's the truth, Diana. You have just, the Lord has just opened doors before you to contact such a beautiful variety of people, just illustrious guests. Just above what we could ask or even imagine, you know, and God is so good to do that. But yes, today it's the two of us, and that's fun too. It's always a pleasure talking. You know, today being Monday, my thoughts always turn to the Declaration of Independence on Mondays. And the reason being was that when I was teaching American history and civics, I would begin my classes on Monday, every class, with the Declaration of Independence. Now, in every class, every day, my classes recited the Ten Commandments before we would pray, and we would pray together after we recited the Ten Commandments, and then I would take one point to expound upon each day. And so throughout the year and then into 2 years that I would have my students, they got a really good foundation in God's law and the application of it and so forth. But on Mondays, that was also the Declaration of Independence Day, and we would recite together. My seventh graders would recite most of the first two paragraphs of the Declaration, those paragraphs being quite long, and then eighth graders would go on further. And And then, again, I would take certain points to expound upon and explain. And so on Mondays, you know, my thoughts go to the Declaration of Independence. And one of the things that our students learn is that God is referenced four different times in the Declaration of Independence, and that's important. This was our founding doctrine, our founding creed, our belief system that we stated as Americans in 1776, and the fact that God is referenced four different times is very, very important. And in the Declaration of Independence, we find out so much, including the purpose for government, that government is instituted among men to protect our God-given rights given to us by our Creator. And it's also a Declaration of Independence from Great Britain and a Declaration of Dependence upon Almighty God. So there's so much in that Declaration of Independence, and my thoughts turn to it every Monday. So I was just thinking about that, Diana.
Well, Ms. Barbara, why don't we start that also? I think, you know, really it is good to remember these things. And, you know, it's a good habit. And really, God wants us to remember. That is one of the things that He charges us, is to remember. And unlike a lot of people, I will forget. And that's one of the reasons I love to have you and Mr. Wayne, you know, helping with the show, is because I am getting to remember. And in most cases, I'm learning. So it's such a privilege. And, you know, for those that have maybe not even heard them, I think it would be, you know, such a wonderful gift for them if they would join us and just really do this as you have done, you know, a Monday routine. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you, Diana. You know, it's estimated, there were some surveys done some years ago, and it's estimated that less than 10% of the American population has read our national creed, the Declaration of Independence. And to be ignorant of the Declaration is to be ignorant of our political system, because the principles of freedom are stated right there in that Declaration of Independence.
Well, I think we need to do it. If we can't do it weekly, at least let's do it once a month. So, Ms. Barb, would you mind reading that for our listeners?
I would be very glad to. Shall we pray first?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Father, that we have the gift of sight, that we can read, Father, that you created us with the capacity to learn and to learn to read, and then to read to learn. And Father, we're just grateful that you desire for us to have knowledge of you and knowledge of what you have done and knowledge of what is important, Father. And we thank you that our founding fathers, Father, they were all about what is important to you, Lord. And they were students of Scripture. They studied their Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, cover to cover, most of them every year from cover to cover. And, Father, they learned of your truth. And, Father, I pray that we would follow in their footsteps as they followed you, Lord, and that we would have that desire to learn and to know what is important to you. And we thank you for that privilege and that opportunity that we have. Father, you're so good to us in every way, and we would ask your blessing, your favor, your mercy upon our nation, and particularly, Father, upon our troops and wherever they are throughout the world, and, Father, particularly those in harm's way, for protection and guidance, wisdom, supernatural strength, Father, supernatural rest for them when they're not in the field, Father, and discernment, Father, that they will be able to anticipate evil coming toward them and to avoid it, Father, and be able to deal with it, Lord. Father, strengthen them, O God, strengthen them. Their moral being, their every fiber of their being, Father, their character, just bless them and their families, Father, and we thank you for it. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem always, O God, that you would be the shield of your people, Father, your chosen people in Israel. Protect them, O God, and give them wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go ahead and start on the Declaration of Independence. I love this document. This is where Thomas Jefferson, the primary author of it, waxed eloquent. I mean, just gloriously eloquent. And he said, though, that it was simply the expression of the American mind in 1776, that he had not written anything original, you know, nothing new, but this is where the American people were in 1776. And so it begins, and this is a declaration of the Second Continental Congress, and so it is a unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. It's in the Declaration of Independence that we are for the first time called the United States of America. Mm. And it begins, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. You know, the founding fathers did not just thumb their nose at the world and just do what they decided to do. No, because of the respect that they had for others, they announced to the world the reasons that they were taking this momentous step to declare independence from Great Britain and to declare that we were a free and independent nation. They listed the reasons. They explained them, 27 of them. There were more that Thomas Jefferson listed in the Declaration that were edited out by the committee in the Congress, but 27 violations of law by the lawless king, George III, were listed. Diana, you have anything to ask or comment on at this time?
Well, Ms. Barbara, I was going to let you go into the Ten Commandments, but I'll go ahead and comment, if I may, on the this past Sunday's sermon from Pastor Kerry Gordon was really spectacular because, he has a way of really digging things up that I'd never heard before. And this weekend really was on the fact that when you look at the Jewish system that, you know, Jesus Christ was dealing with, it was also a political system. So, you know, when people say, well, we should not get involved in politics, he says, you know, he was confronting the politicians of the time. And as a matter of fact, they were the ones confronting him too. So, you know, I think it's just really opened my mind so much more than ever onto the magnitude of, you know, why we are falling apart here in this country is because we really do not understand what Jesus was doing. I mean, you know, when you really look at it from that point of view, he was confronting the evil in society. He was confronting the evil that was in the politics. And also, too, he was
Pastor Kerry Gordon was beautifully talking about the city on a hill, you know, which is what God allowed us to name this show after. And it rings, you know, if you don't let the light shine, what good are you? And so I'm just, you know, it was, goodness gracious, I have to be reminded, you know, and he did a beautiful job. And I would just recommend that to listeners go to the past sermon this Sunday. I should have retitled it, The City on a Hill Sermon, because it was beautifully done with authority. And also the Saturday show that, you know, we aired on the FM station, we talked, you know, where you got to talk to him and we both got to talk to him, and he talked about what's going in Iowa, you know, and he is a pastor and he is talking about politics. So, but anyway, it was just really very inspiring, because to me, you know, to me, the pastor, you would think, would be the one that is defending all of us, you know. Yeah. They're like the bellwether, you know, like the shepherd has that sheep that's so close to the Lord. And I'm thinking, you know, these pastors, they know the word. They've studied it so much. You know, they stay not just on Wednesday night, Sunday night, in between. They live and breathe it. And I'm thinking something is wrong, because they're not the guard. They're not the bellwether that they have been, you know, in the days of Alexander de Tocqueville, when your mind is that. But anyway, okay, I gave a big perspective. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, you know, I agree with you in my respect for Pastor Kerry Gordon and the depth of his knowledge. And there is really a deep well of knowledge there, and wisdom and understanding, and he brings that to us. I think that he is a pastor who devours the Word of God and uses everything in his power to grow in understanding and knowledge and in wisdom. And I think that he is a man who leaves no stone unturned in the pursuit of God, and then to bring what he learns to the people. And you know, he is anointed. The presence of God is with him when he speaks. He speaks not as the scribes and Pharisees, but as one with authority. You know, they said that about Jesus. He doesn't speak like the scribes and Pharisees. He speaks with authority. And so, you know, and when we're talking about pastors and politics, our politics emanate from us, from as individuals, as people. And you know, that's just the natural outflow of our relationship with the Lord. Is we have that relationship with the Lord, and we study his word, and what we learn, we apply. And that's in our individual lives, we apply it. It's in our every relationship, we apply it. Otherwise, we would be hypocrites. But we apply it to all of life. That's my point. And that's how it has been. And that's how it's always been in this country until recent years, when there was this false dichotomy between government and faith. So, you know, it's the political our political ideas come from what we value and the truth that we know. And we apply it to government. We apply it to law. We apply it to education. We apply it to the arts. We apply it to all of life, every arena of life. Jesus Christ is Lord over all.
And indeed, Ms. Barbara, overall, and I think one of the things that we're missing is we are now a people, it seems like, of sound bites. So many people are so good at repeating sound bites, but not studying the life of these, you know, especially this time, the candidates. And I just think about, you know, the recent debate, you know, so-and-so sounds so good. But then when you look at the big picture, the total story, and one in particular I like to think of is Ron Paul. He sounds so good, you know, on certain issues. But when I look at the total picture and I think to myself, first of all, as I think we've spoken about this and I've said the same thing, if you love God, then you would love the things that God loves. And
right.
God says we are to bless Israel. And how
That's right.
can we do that with a foreign policy that he wants to promote? To me, that is just so counter. That to me is very telling. It's about like a person that says, you know, I'm a conservative, but I'm pro-abortion.
Yeah, right.
I just it doesn't compute.
No, it doesn't compute. And I think that probably Ron Paul would say that as individuals, yes, indeed, we are to bless Israel. And because we know that God's word says, he who blesses Israel shall be blessed, and he that curses Israel shall be cursed. I believe that would be his defense or something to that effect. However, I would say as a country, as a nation, we have foreign policy that should be used as God, you know, that's pleasing in God's sight. And above all people, our foreign policy should favor God's chosen people. Absolutely. So I of course would disagree with Ron Paul. But, you know, and now, of course, he does sound good on many issues. He speaks in favor of the Constitution. But as we learn from our friend, Pastor Kerry Gordon, that libertarian ideology does not desire government of any kind, you know. So I don't know how that's reconciled in Ron Paul's mind, but don't you think, Diana, I mean, that that we better go beyond what sounds good? I mean, didn't we learn that lesson big time in 2008? Wasn't there a candidate that really sounded good? You know, I mean,
that's a good
have we not learned our lesson yet?
I think, well, Ms. Barbara, if you can have a mantra for what was learned, what would it be? Let's not repeat ourselves. I don't know, but you would think the people should remember, you know, even Obamacare is like, you know, you would think that would be uppermost in people's mind, and that's why I think there is a spiritual problem, and that's why prayer is so important. And I'm so grateful for us being able to pray in the 40 days of prayer, but also, you know, I think about what the Bible says, abide in him and he will abide in you. Because I know it for myself, unless I am walking with the Lord moment to moment, and I start focusing on something else, I will fail, and I will do the human thing. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
I do.
It's so easy
I
for
do.
Me to really, if I forget, and that's why it's so important to remember, and really that's why I love about you and Mr. Warren, because you always bring it back to that biblical perspective, the godly perspective in everything. He says to acknowledge him in all our ways, and, you know, it is true that we do tend to compartmentalize, but when we do that, especially when we vote, you know, we're going to vote for somebody that has good economic policy, but never mind what he is as a, you know, as far as the morals. We are out of sync with the truth, aren't we?
Well, we really are. And if we vote immoral people to hold positions of power and authority to make decisions for us, immoral people that have a record of immorality, and we can look at it. The Bible says a simple man believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. So the simple man just says, that, oh, I'll just believe him. I'll trust him again, even though they have walked in immorality in the past and have made very poor choices. But I'm just going to believe this. But, you know, the Bible says the prudent man looks well to his going. The prudent man examines the record. And before we would entrust someone with such responsibility where the people's welfare is concerned, we'd better be very, very, very careful to make sure they are people of integrity, that they have not lied, that they haven't lied made decisions, other poor decisions, because if they have and they have been in sin with in an official position or whatever, you know, can we trust them?
Yeah, and I think Pastor Kerry Gordon, you know, touched on something really good too about the Iowa caucus, that, you know, it's very important for the people of Iowa not to be affected by the national polls, because they have a chance to examine for themselves the candidate. And really, when they do a good job, it does the country well, because it's like they're the first stand, right, Ms. Barbara? When they open
yeah.
that door to the right candidate, it goes well. But if they open the door to the wrong candidate, they really are opening it wide to, across the country. So they're like the first defense, and it starts with the ability to examine, which, you know, they have been giving that privilege. We don't have it here. They have been.
Right,
it's really
right.
amazing when I heard him talk about it that way.
Indeed. And, you know, I think that the national, what we're seeing at the national level is being manipulated, dramatically manipulated. And I don't know quite how it's being done at all. But I
Well, let me
I
tell you one example, Ms. Barbara.
Manipulated.
Let me
I'm
tell
sorry?
You one example I heard. One example I heard. It said, okay, it said that there was a poll that showed Newt Gingrich was ahead, okay, in Iowa. But then there was some clarification. That was 30% of the people of Iowa. Okay, only 30% really responded to that poll. So that tells you 70%, and they did say that later, are still undecided, but yet you're hearing he's ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
It's the way the words, you know, the wording of these things, and we're going to really have to really pray for the blindness to be removed, that people will go beyond that little sound bite and not get scared into thinking, oh, well, Newt's ahead, I'm going to go ahead and vote for him too.
That's called jump on the bandwagon propaganda. And you know, that there is someone in the front, so get on the bandwagon with the winner. You know, that's the philosophy,
yeah.
and that's the propaganda tool that's being used there. The polls are being financed by people who perhaps have something to gain. Is there some reason that that the left would want Newt Gingrich as the candidate? Is there reason that they would? Well, I would say that there were many reasons why they would, because he has promoted internationalism rather than Americanism. You know, for one thing, He was with Jimmy Carter in the 1980s, excuse me, the 70s, in establishing the Department of Education. And you know an agency for the decline of American education that has been. We know what an agency for the corruption of our youth that has been. All these federal mandates coming down to the states, and the power and the abuse of power that the Department of Education has been. And it was Newt Gingrich who, in a very tight vote, voted for that Department of Education and gave it to Jimmy Carter. So, you know, that's not a conservative position.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you know, I think in the background, as we have gleaned from Iowa's Pastor Kerry Gordon, it's like somebody was watching this recent debate and they said, "Ooh, Rick Santorum is really looking good, sounding good." So, you know, Pastor Kerry Gordon said, "Well, you know, people don't know, but there may be a Rickaboom." So, you know, I think that was an indication, because he's starting to look strong, and he, you know, it may be because his confidence is coming on, and it's coming across subconsciously, and it's emanating, you know, more confident answers. I don't know, but something's changing. So I'm excited, because I just believe God has not given us a spirit of fear, and I'm praying he'll help us, you know, hold the light on and put one of these really true conservatives on the forefront, because if the truth be known, Obama should be on the way out. You know?
Oh, we hope and pray so. His policies have been so destructive, but totally in keeping with who he is. You know, he is pro homosexual movement. We see with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy reversed. He is pro abortion when he first came in to lift the Mexico City ban that kept our taxpayer funds from going to support abortion worldwide. He promoted that and changed that. And I mean, his policies have been so destructive. And we haven't even gone into the Obamacare and the, you know, all the rest of the bailouts and the takeover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what puzzles me is, if you're a diehard Obama fan and you're a business owner and you're seeing your money go down the drain, your hard-earned money, I don't understand how you can still vote for the man. And if you have been an Obama fan and you're an elderly person and you see your monthly check dwindling, and the health care, you know, you're seeing that, you know, a lot of people are really, it's harder and harder to find providers. And if you're a young person, you know, you're a diehard Obama fan, but you're having a hard time getting a job even with your college degree. If you're a teacher and you're a diehard Obama fan, and you're having a problem with this Common Core standards and the fact that your evaluation is going to be now tied to the test scores of the children, and you have no control anymore on how to teach your class. You've now become a clerk, in essence. You know, you're just filling out paperwork. I just do not see how these people can still be diehard when everything that they are is going to be sucked down the drain.
Well, they might want to ask themselves, are they better off today in 2011 than they were in 2008? You know, are their futures more secure? You know, do they are they better off financially? You know, are we more secure? Is our national security better now than it was before? You know, is our country better off now in 2011 than it was in 2008? You know, I think common sense would dictate asking these questions.
Well, I think the media has a large part in holding him up. And one of the things that you were talking about the drone attack, you know, how really, to me, that should be headline news everywhere. But I know I've watched some TV, and it hasn't been the headline news that I thought it would. There's not, you know, you think about the what they did with the Casey Anthony, and I know that was an important case. But Israel is important to the hearts of many Americans, and I surely do not see not even an inkling of, you know, of attention compared to the Casey Anthony case. But yet, you know, there's a drone now that Iran has shown in the pictures that is unscathed, and there's a lot of questions as to how did that happen. This multi-million program let one be taken by the enemy with all the secrets intact, you know.
Yeah, who's in charge of this? What went wrong? There should be an investigation at this time. Just there should be answers. You know, how are we? Was there no contingency plan?
Well, there was.
In case this happened, in case our drone.
I saw somewhere, and we just recommend this to anybody who is so interested in what's going on in Israel, because you're not getting it, unfortunately, from the mainstream, and that's Debka, D-E-B-K-A, .com, and you will just really find just, oh my goodness, amazing information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. But one of the things that they spoke of was there was a supposedly they were trying to hatch a plan to maybe go in and get that, get the drone back. You know,
so that was
US,
the contingency plan.
I guess. U.S. U.S. military and Israel were meeting together. But what did they do? They let it, they said to themselves, well, you know, if we go in there and try to take the drone back, using their Iranian whatever, they've got some Secret Service agents in Iran that they were going to have to use. But they said that, you know, this could make things blow up worse. And I'm thinking, how much worse can it get now that they've got your upper hand? You know,
I believe that
pretty much know your secret.
Yeah. I think that that was an after-the-fact come up with a plan on the spur of the moment because our drone was downed by the enemy. And I don't think that that was a contingency plan. You know, I don't think it was well thought out what each step that would be taken if the unimaginable happened and our drone, our surveillance drone, with all the classified technology on that drone was captured, what would immediately happen? I don't think that that was there, or it would have been implemented immediately. I mean, it would just, you know, that's what you would do. If this happens, then we will do thus and so, and they didn't have a plan. Why didn't
they
have a plan?
It sounds like it was just handed to, it almost seems like we just handed it to them, which is unthinkable. And I think to myself, you know, really when you look at the way that this administration has handled Iran, the worst enemy that we have right now that is really after, you know, destroying Israel and us, very blatantly, we have handled that. I mean, this administration has handled it, like you said, we're not safer. If anything, he's ratcheted it up because they're not scared.
Well, we have to always remember that to Iran, the United States of America is the big Satan, the number one on their list, and Israel is the small Satan and number two on their list. So they have their sights on us first. And, you know, Iran is not to be taken lightly. And I believe that this administration, I don't know where they are, except maybe, I don't know.
Well, as we've talked before, Don Bernard, Miss Barbara, you know, you think of the mishandling of just really, you know, having Uma Wiener in there.
In the Department of State.
Right. There are so many red flags, really. Yeah. But, you know, there should be an investigation. Even when John Bernard talked about the rules of engagement and the coin strategy and how that emanated from a study, and the study that should have really helped us get the right strategy had been pulled by a mole. You know, you would think there would be a hearing, excuse me, on that, because, I mean, it's not being denied, you know, what this man, I mean, you know, they finally got a hold of that this man was dangerous, but it was too late. Damage had already been done, but you would think they would go in there and have a hearing. No.
And just so continue really, with the strategy that the Muslim mole developed in the Pentagon. Just continue. I mean, it's being continued.
Yeah, we have to really be in prayer, because we have so many brave men that's really trying to do their job as best as possible. But unfortunately, again, there's that bureaucracy, right, Miss Barbara, that tilts things a certain way. And it's like with everything else that we've been concerned about with this administration, the education program, the defense program. Why make a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell be the top priority, you know, in your defense program? That's pretty much one of the things that they have zoomed into. But it's just really mind-boggling to me. And for people that, you know, most everybody have military ties. And for people to still want to choose Obama, I just don't see. I just cannot see. You know, the Jewish vote, I think, I think in a way he has lost that. If they stick to him, I just can't fathom that happening. But
I can't either, because he is so anti-Israel. And, you know, asking them to return to their pre-1967 borders, which are indefensible. I mean, you know, how much more do you have to hear? He really advocates the destruction of Israel and continues to pressure Israel to sit down with people to negotiate that do not even acknowledge the right of Israel to exist as a nation. You know, it's very evident that Barack Obama is very, very anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, and we know how he treated Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, Diana, another thing about Iran that we have to remember is that the people in power there, in Iran, want to bring about chaos in the world and destruction, because they believe that the 12th, this is going to bring about the ushering in of a total Islamic world-dominating force. And so their belief system is that the chaos in the world has to be worldwide chaos, which means going nuclear. And then that will bring about the domination of the world by Islam. So this is where they're coming from. And to not acknowledge that, that this is what they believe, is stupid at the minimal, but criminal. You know, it is criminal not to acknowledge their belief system and their plans to dominate the world and to create chaos to bring that about. That's their plan. They made no secret of it.
And Ms. Barbara, I'm just looking at DEBCA file, and I just think people need to be going on that. It says the headline is Iran to practice Strait of Hormuz closure while unlocking U.S. drone secrets. This just came out today. It says Tehran Monday today announced plans soon for a Navy drill to practice closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And we know how important that is to the world oil. And Leon Panetta has said that he would make that the red line for the United States. So it's like, okay, let's try harder. I'm just thinking, how much more can we wait? It's really amazing. And just Israel is kind of left to herself, to really formulate what needs to be done, because all it seems like this administration has done has bought time for Iran.
You know, Israel is surrounded by her enemies, and then she's pressured by the power that's supposed to be her friend, the United States. The United States has put tremendous pressure on Israel against Israel's interests. You know, totally against what is in the best interest of Israel. And, it must be a terrible thing. But, you know, Diana, when you were reading that information coming from DEBCA, contrast that with what you see on Yahoo News and Google News and NBC and ABC and CBS News. And the fluff and the really unimportant things that you see listed on those news sources versus DEBCA, it's like night and day.
Oh yes, and I think again it is. Happily, I'm looking at something at Fox News, and they do have U.S. probes drone landing theories, but still, they're behind. You know, they should have had the same thing that DEBCA had, which is about this Strait of Hormuz drill. But still, Ms. Barbara, I just think maybe not so much Fox, though. I sometimes wonder even at Fox, but the rest for sure is manipulation, because, you know, a lot of times I don't even watch them anymore because there's more lies than truth than I hear on the other ones. I mean, it's
right. So
sad that that's where we've come
right.
to.
It has become sad, and no longer is journalism objective. It is totally subjective, and they have an axe to grind. They have a perspective to bring out and to influence the American people, and we're just buying it. It seems like we're just swallowing it, you know, a lot.
Well, I'm so grateful, Ms. Barbara. We do have a lot of guests, and coming up, I'm hoping this week we will have Chaplain Klingensmith. You know, he always has such great information for us. And of course, next week again on Tuesday we will have John Bernard. But tomorrow will be Pastor Lear. He will be probably reminding us of, you know, what the founding. Well, I always like to talk about the, George Washington's prayer in Valley Forge, and I know that was around Christmas time, I think, the setting of that, and just such a contrast to what we experience here at, you know, this fall, this, you know, holiday, Christmas time of the year, to what they were experiencing, which was really fighting for the life of a nation. And we have been given
so much. Pastor Lear is going to be on tomorrow?
He's going to be on tomorrow. Thank the Lord. Yes.
Good.
And we've got also coming up on, well, let's see, on the 19th, which is really next Monday, we've got Grace Marie with Luca, which is going to, again, remind us about that horrid Obamacare. But, we try to give, well, it's not really us, Ms. Barbara. It's really the Lord ordering our steps.
Yeah.
He does
yeah.
not want us to lack for knowledge. And so he has allowed so many outstanding guests. I can't say enough good things about them because they are just so full of information, just like with that Pastor Kerry Gordon. I mean, he's given me an eye view I've never heard before, Miss Barbara, about the Iowa primary.
I just have to laugh when our friend Dawn Wildman was on the show, and she was talking about being blown away with the people that God has placed on the radio show, and how it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to these people who are sacrificing and working and so hard for the country and for the Lord what a blessing it is and how it's just amazing the people that God puts in our paths and that is absolutely true. It's if it weren't happening, it would be said to be unbelievable, truly. And what honorable people of integrity and character and achievement, you know, that God has placed with us here on City on a Hill radio show. And so we've got Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute and Luca Bocci with the Tea Party Italia coming up Monday the 19th. We have mm-hmm. Patriot Pastor Lear tomorrow, the 13th. And, you know, when we were speaking with David Barton last week, and I was thinking, you know, I believe that he is truly America's teacher in the 20th and the 21st century, America's teacher, because so many people all over the country are learning about our heritage, our Christian heritage and true American history through this man, David Barton, you know, that I would give him that title, America's teacher.
Oh, wow. That is so true, Miss Barbara. That is so true. And, you know, I do remember looking at my life application where Bible, you know, I can't remember what scripture I was on, but on the bottom of the life application, it was talking about that, you know, that solemn oath, do no harm, you know, that we put for doctors. They said it was saying that should also be, you know, for teachers. Because
absolutely.
They do hold, you know, you think of a doctor as the one that really is a doctor to the health, the physical body. But when I think of a teacher, Miss Barbara, it is really like a doctor to the mental health of a person. Because if you don't have, unfortunately, the right information, wow.
Yeah.
You know, devastating.
That's right.
And that's why we really try to take a stand about this Common Core or national standards, because we know that what it's going to do is damage the mind of innocent, precious children. And as David Barton has said, you know, these children can do so much more.
Yeah. Well, it's an awesome responsibility when you're molding and influencing, you know, molding the minds of children in their formative years. I mean, and it's so important that we teach them truth and that they would have a love of the truth and that we would place before them all that is good and noble and true and honorable and worthy of good report and praiseworthy, that we place these things before the eyes of our children and, you know, the way God wants them to be trained, to put those good things before them and to teach them his truth and to love that which is good and to despise that which is evil. You know, these are the formative years, and what a responsibility that is when we're teaching children.
And Ms. Barbara, I think about Zechariah. I remember studying Zechariah, you know, in the Jewish culture, you know, not having a child is like not getting a blessing. Back then, you know, it was so necessary to have children because they are the ones that's going to take care of you when you get old.
Well, absolutely. And you know, disregard for the sanctity of human life is what we have nurtured in this culture of death that we're living in now. You know, we have not nurtured the idea that human life is sacred, that all human life is sacred, and so we're going to be, you know, we're going to be paying the price for teaching children that life is disposable, and that when it's not productive, that it needs to it has no value. And that's what's being taught now with the abortion mentality. If it's not convenient.
Barbara?
Yes.
Oh, Ms. Barbara, I don't know how much you heard me say before I got cut off. I had to reconnect. But I was just talking about Zechariah. Did you hear me talk about Zechariah and the child, how, you know, if you did not have
blessing.
A child, you know, you were not considered blessed because the child was such a blessing. And really back
That's
then,
right.
they took care of the elderly, their parents. But that child or the promise, I was just thinking of the promise, and it just hit my head like a flash, I mean, like a light, you know, it's really a promise of so much blessing to America, and that the enemy wants to destroy that child so badly because he knows what that means. It is that promise of so many blessings.
Yeah, and we've allowed our future to be destroyed when we allow our children to be destroyed, because they are the future, and we're destroying our future when we allow the taking of innocent life. And plus, you know, we're setting ourselves up for just total destruction. You know, the blood of the innocent cries to God from the ground, you know. And, you know, we cannot expect, as George Washington stated, we cannot expect the blessing of God when we disregard his rules of eternal order, when we disregard his commandments, thou shalt not murder. Can we expect the favor of God when we murder innocent children within their mother's womb? No, we cannot expect the blessing of God, you know?
And too, Ms. Barbara, you know, when I think about, well, you know, God says to hate the sin but love the sinner. And with a homosexual lifestyle that wants to permeate that lifestyle, well, promote that lifestyle throughout the world, I think to myself, you know, first of all, if they really think that lifestyle is so good and it makes them feel so whole and good, why do they have to force it on the whole world? Why are they not content with it just for themselves?
Well, that's a good question, Diane, and one that needs to be asked of them, because it is being pushed upon the whole of society, not only in our country, but throughout the world now. And there are changes, and there will be much greater changes as a result of those changes. But you know, Diana, do you realize that we are at the end of the show?
Oh.
Well, as
and
always,
I was wondering
okay.
if you wanted to present some closing thoughts.
Oh, I would, Miss Barbara.
Close us in prayer.
Well, I'm just going to close us in prayer. I've already said enough. Well, dear Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your amazing love for everyone. We pray, Lord, that they'll come to know you as we know you, as our Savior, our Lord, and that you complete us, Lord. It's not a lifestyle. It is a relationship that completes us. And we pray for those that do not know you, Lord, that they will search you, because you said in your word to ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. I pray you'll open the door to the listeners' hearts, even those that do not know you, Lord, that they would search you and want to experience, Lord, that wholeness, that joy that passes all understanding, Lord, that peace also that passes all understanding, that they will know what it's like to be truly loved unconditionally. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your amazing love and grace, especially in remembrance, Lord, of the sacrifice of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We pray you'll bless the listeners, Lord. Anoint them, Lord, with the oil of joy and the peace that passes understanding. And, Lord, we pray all these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara.
Yes, and thank you.
Go ahead,
and I was just going to thank our listeners as well, and also remind them that they can find this podcast and other informative, enlightening, inspiring podcasts at cityonahill.tv, and we hope that they will share them with their friends and family. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Have a good evening, everyone. Goodbye. Please tune in tomorrow. Pastor Lear will be on. Patriot Pastor Lear. God bless you.